encouragement every night. Just being, now listen, I understand that everybody's got room for improvement, amen? And now you say amen. All right. My first sermon ever, a sweet lady in our church named Sandy Lynch wanted to encourage me. And after I preached for 7 minutes, "Oh, Brother Jeff, that was so wonderful." And I knew it wasn't, but I was glad for it anyway. So thank you for your encouragement, amen. Amen. All right, stand with me. The music has been fantastic. Thank God for you. Thank God for you being humble and willing to use the gifts that God has given you for His glory. The music is part of the service of worship. The offering is part of the service. The preaching is part of the service. And the altar call is part of the service. Amen. There'd be no need for preaching if there wasn't going to be a response required by God to His Word. So 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, the message is repentance for revival. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Father, thank you for this night of preaching, this privilege to be in your house behind this pulpit. And I thank you, Father, for this church and how they love you and they're encouraging to me. And I'm encouraged that there will be a revival in this church, that after we leave, the Word of God will not return void. It will accomplish that which you sent it forth to do. Lord, it's not about me. It's not about us. It's about you, about your Word, about your Spirit working in our lives. And we pray, Father, that there'll be a season of revival, especially at this critical time before the Christmas season, when people are more likely to come to church than any other time of the year. Let us not go away and say revival is over. Let us go away and say revival is just beginning, and let people see what they can do to bring people to the house of God for the celebration of the birth of Christ. Help me to preach with boldness and liberty. Thank you for what you've done so far. In Jesus' name, get glory and honor to yourself in this church. Amen. Please be seated. Okay. Turn with me to Matthew 12 for our jumping off point. Amen. Matthew 12, verse 38. And we will read through verse 41. Repentance for revival. Amen. "Then certain of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here." And so Christ is telling us now that His preaching, He is God, He is a greater prophet, a greater teacher than Jonas. When I say prophet, I mean preacher. We know He's God. Hypostatic union, all man and all God. Amen? All right. So, but Nineveh repented. And Nineveh got precious little attention from the man of God. He didn't even want to go there. And they repented and did right. And as we learn, study this lesson tonight, I hope that you'll understand how much attention we've received from God and what kind of response we ought to give to God for how much time He's invested in us, how much He's led us along and drawn us after Him. Amen? All right. Now, Luke 12:48 says, "But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." God has committed to you everything, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the mystery of godliness, amen? You've got the answer to that. It's a mystery to the world, but it's not to us. Amen? And so we have the responsibility with the great gift that's been given to us to do the work that God has given to us, because He counts America as being a lighthouse for the world. Amen? Now, turn with me to Jonah chapter 3. In Matthew, we said that the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented not at the preaching of Jonas. Now in Jonas chapter 3, we're going to read the first 10 verses. Follow along as I read them. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God, yea, let them turn every one from his evil way, and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent, and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil which he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Now we see a pattern here. Our verse for the revival tells us that if they will pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear. I'll answer their prayers. Amen. I'll heal their land. It's important to understand about healing their land. Our land has problems that we do not know. Our land has problems that our government can't imagine. What problems are they? Oh, I can't tell you because I don't know them, but I know we have them. How do I know we have them? As we study about Abraham, he went down into Egypt and he lied to Pharaoh and he said, This is not my wife, this is my sister. And Pharaoh took her and God smote him and he said, What did you do this to me for? He said, Well, she is my half-sister. And so then he went to Gerar, the land of Gerar, and Abimelech was the king. And he said, Sarah, tell everybody you're my sister again because you're pretty and they're going to kill me if they think you're my wife. And if I'm dead, they can marry you and, you know. And so he was kind of self-centered in that. Right? Don't be too hard on Abraham. Y'all do the same thing. So do we. Amen. But God talked to Abimelech and said, That is a man's wife. You give him back. And Abimelech said, Hey, he told me it was a sister. And God said, I know, that's why I kept your hand off of her. I kept your hand off of her. You didn't soil her. Because I knew that she was a man's wife. Now you go to Abraham and have him pray for you, and I will heal you. What? From what? Can you imagine Abimelech saying, You'll heal me? And the Bible said that Abraham prayed and God healed Abimelech's family and opened their wombs that they could have children. What I'm telling you is God was judging Abimelech and Abimelech didn't even know it. Amen? Now, verse 10 of Jonah 3, And God saw their works that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that He had said He would do unto them, and He did it not. Amen? Now, God had a plan for Abimelech if Abimelech didn't listen to him. God had a plan for the king and the city of Nineveh if they didn't listen to him. God has a plan for the United States of America if we don't listen to Him. That's where we're going, amen. Does it make sense to you? Amen. Now, we're going to see in this passage, we're going to see in Jonah 3 here for just a little bit. Nineveh's background was not at all spiritual. It's a city that began with Nimrod. Nimrod, the mighty hunter. Genesis 10, verse 8 through 11. And Cush begat Nimrod, and he began to be a mighty one in the earth. And he was a mighty hunter before the Lord, wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter, before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calneh, in the land of Shinar. Out of that land went forth Asher, and builded Nineveh, and the city Rehoboth, and Calah. Meaning that he went out of the land, Asher is Assyria. He went out of Assyria, and he builded Nineveh. Nimrod was the builder, the founder of that city. And he was a self-centered and rebellious man. God commanded Adam and Eve, and the people of the earth, God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. That would imply that you're going to have to go all over the earth, spread abroad, and subdue the whole earth. You can't subdue the earth from Berean Baptist Church. And nor could they. But in Genesis 11, they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. God said, be scattered abroad. Isn't it better? I mean, everybody has neighborhoods. You go to a rural town, and it's not near as bad as New York City. Right? People stacked up on top of each other. The crime is rampant. The government can't keep control. If we were out mining our business, doing the work of God, the whole earth would be a much better place. Amen? And I want to tell you, the government wants to put everybody in cities. That's why they want to get rid of the Electoral College. This is not about voting, and when the election's not coming up, don't sweat it. But the Electoral College keeps everybody in the mix for voting. If they get rid of the Electoral College, only the big cities will get a vote. So everybody will move to the big cities, and when they put you in the big cities, they'll build a fence around it, and the God of this world will run your life. That's why God wanted to spread it out and do it His way, amen? But Nimrod was rebellious. He went contrary to the Word of God. Now, keep your place in Jonah. I'm going to Isaiah for just a moment. And you don't have to. Isaiah 14. Preacher, you used a lot of verses. Yeah, I'm good. Amen. What else should I use? Isaiah 14, beginning at verse 12, I want you to see a parallel between Lucifer, who is the instigator of this man-made power grab, and Nineveh. Isaiah 14, and verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nation? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. These are the people that built Nineveh. The point we're making is it's a satanically inspired culture. They were atrocious, steeped in heathen darkness, inspired by satanic influence. Nimrod was killed. His body was cut into pieces and distributed around the country so that people would know he's really dead and he's not in charge anymore. His wife fled for her safety. Her name was Ishtar, or Semiramis, but it was Ishtar. From where comes the Catholic term Easter? We're not going to get into that. Thank God for you for that. But she said, after he died, she started the rumor that Nimrod has gone to be with the sun, and he is now the sun god. And I am the queen of heaven, and my son Tammuz is the moon god. This is all pertinent to the message. When Tammuz died, there was 40 days of mourning before Ishtar. Can you think of a time in the spring when there's 40 days of mourning? 40 days where you give up things? It's called Lent. That's really a celebration of the pagan worship of Tammuz, the son of Nebuchadnezzar and his wife. Now everybody started worshiping them. They said the same thing as Satan said, let's build a tower to heaven and we'll just take over and we'll be the Most High instead of God. Amen? He got to be a great man and everybody told him how great he was and he got to believe his own press clippings. Amen? And so God overthrew them at the Tower of Babel. They had a terrible reputation in Nineveh. The entire history of Nineveh is filled with violence and terror and torture and killing of conquered peoples. They pridefully carried home parts of their enemies' leaders' bodies as souvenirs of war. What's the mindset of Jonah? You want me to go there? He didn't want to go there. And when he finally went, he didn't go willingly. And he didn't go with any love in his heart. The king of Nineveh would usually bring the severed head of a recently conquered king home and raise it on a pole in the middle of a banquet commemorating his victory. Finally, they put it over the gate of Nineveh where it slowly rotted away. The opposing generals would get even worse treatment. The Elamite general, Dananu, was flayed alive, bled like a lamb. His brother had his throat cut. His body was divided into pieces. What they would do is take their bodies and their skulls, and there were piles of skulls outside of the gates of Nineveh. Oh, that's pretty bad. The prophet Nahum says something about that. Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, if you're looking. Amen. Nahum chapter 3, verse 1. Woe to the bloody city. This is God's, what God's going to do to Nineveh if they don't get right at this time. Woe to the bloody city. It is all full of lies and robbery. The prey departeth not. People come in to visit, but they never go home. The noise of a whip and the noise of the rattling of the wheels. Rattling of the wheels is a torture device. And the prancing of horses and of the jumping chariots. The horseman lifteth up both the bright sword and the glittering spear, and there is a multitude of slain, and a great number of carcasses, and there is none end of their corpses. They stumble upon their corpses because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot, that's Nineveh, the mistress of witchcrafts that selleth nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcrafts. Behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will discover thy skirts upon thy face. That means I'll bring utter shame to you. And I will show the nations thy nakedness and thy kingdoms thy shame. And the kingdoms thy shame. And I will cast abominable filth upon thee and make thee vile and will set thee as a gazing stock. And it shall come to pass that all they that look upon thee shall flee from thee and say, Nineveh is laid waste. Who will bemoan her? Whence shall I seek comforters for thee? And Jonah said, God, this is where you want me to go? There's so many people murdered in the streets of Nineveh that they're tripping over them. Their bodies are laying in the streets. And you want me to go there? There's people in your town that live under bridges and people that live in big, man, I've seen a lot of big homes. And I was like, man, I never want a house that big. Somebody's got to clean that booger. Amen? But there's people at the bottom of the spectrum and people at the top. People at the state house and people in the jailhouse. And they all need the gospel. And if God's going to send somebody to Nineveh, God wants us to repent of not loving all people and go to the people that we have that are like the Ninevites. Amen? They had a terrible reputation. God said He was going to deal with them. That's just number one. Nineveh, number two, didn't get a lot of calls to repentance. One prophet preached just one message. Yet, the response of Nineveh was repentance. Amen? In verse 4, Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, here's all he said, all that God recorded, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. The end. All we know is that he went one, it was a city that was 3 days to walk across, a 3 days journey. He went in one third of the way. And I imagine, you remember Jonah said, out of the belly of hell cried I. He was being digested. Have you ever been in a bathtub too long? Imagine being in the side of a whale too long. He smelled like bad seafood. Got his vomit thrown up on the shore. And the Bible says when he hit the sand running. Amen. He cried out to God. God delivered him. He finally said, I'm ready to go to Nineveh. This is worse than Nineveh. And he ran into Nineveh and he said, in his heart, in his mind, he must have thought, all this is because of you, Nineveh. I wouldn't be in that well. I wouldn't go through all this terror and fear. And he said, I'm going to do my job and nothing more. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So I did my job. And we don't know he said one more word. But verse 5 says, so the people of Nineveh believe God. You don't know who's going to believe God, do you? You can't measure what their heart is like. No matter what the tattoos look like. I led a guy to the Lord who's got tattoos all over his body and up around his face. He's got a goat and a pentagram on his arm. But God's going to give him a new body one day. And that won't be there anymore. Now he's a teaching aid, amen? Look what God can do. Well, you can't see a person's heart. And while they need to repent of their sin, we can't have revival if we don't repent of ours. One prophet preached one message, and Nineveh repented. Compare that with America today. Settled by God-fearing people. People came here for religious freedom, amen? The First and Second Amendment, the first for sure, is in the Constitution. That's the Baptist Amendment. You have a sign out there. You have John Leland out there. We teach our people John Leland too. He's going to run for office. He would have won overwhelmingly, but he gave his votes to another so that they would put freedom of speech and assembly. It's not for the press. It's not for the perverts. It's for Baptists. Because Baptists have been murdered. 50 million Baptists were murdered during the Dark Ages by religion. You thank God you're a Baptist. You be glad you ought to understand your history and then stand up and say, I'm a Baptist and I know why I'm a Baptist. America was settled by these God-fearing people, watched over by the Lord, amen? Until recently, till September 11th, 2001, we hadn't been really attacked in our own country, have we? America has been ministered to by the best preachers, D.L. Moody, Billy Sunday, and others. Today, America has the greatest percentage of preachers of anywhere on the earth. Remember, to whom much is given, much is required. How many people have been, or called to preach in this congregation? Raise your hand. Hold them high so I can see them. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, 11. At least 10, for sure. Amen? And me, that would be 11. What other church has 10 preachers sitting in it? Amen? So if you've got 10 preachers in your midst, God expects much more out of you than He does from Faith Baptist Church in Alamogordo. Amen? Not that we don't have a responsibility, but we don't have the ability. Much has not been given to us as has been given to you. And so we're talking about repentance. Nineveh repented after hearing the message just one time. Do you know that 94% of ordained ministers preach to English-speaking people? Yeah. So Nineveh's call to repentance were not many. It was only one. And Nineveh's message was not encouraging. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. You're done. He didn't come and say, God loves you if you'll just turn and repent. No. There was no message of grace, no promise of pardon, no call to righteousness. There was only the thunder of the law, and you're guilty, and you're doomed. That's all they got. Isaiah 55:7 tells us, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will listen, he will abundantly pardon. They didn't even hear the word pardon. They didn't know that they were going to even get out of this. What did the king say? Who can tell? Amen. Our message today that we give to people is much different. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. 1 John, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. They didn't hear that. America has heard that for generations. What's wrong? What's missing? They don't believe it. The Ninevites believed it. I think that when they saw Jonah, they said, this guy is really a man from God. Look what he went through to get here. Look what God put him through. This is serious stuff, man. This guy was in the belly of a whale. And God spit him up on the ground. And he came running to us, out of breath, to tell us this message from God. We have a message from God. How many times do we need to hear it? Amen. Nineveh's prophet, Jonah, his message wasn't encouraging and he offered them no help. He disliked the assignment. He had to be in the belly of the whale for 3 days before he would agree to go. No prayer of compassion, no word of instruction from the preacher. Nothing more than just doing his duty. What if we just did our duty? What if we just said, here's a track. Come to our church. Go with God. I like it when people get saved and start telling people about the Lord. Amen. Had a guy got saved. He was working on air conditioner in our church. And I said, David, have you ever been born again? Have you ever called on Christ? And long story short, I gave him the gospel. And he said, preacher, I want that, but I don't want to get saved right now. Could you follow me over to the office? And I want my wife to hear this too. I want her to get saved too. I went to their office from their business. I preached to them in their office. They both got saved in their office. Amen. David, a brand new Christian, didn't know up from down about the Bible, said, I want to be obedient. I'm going to go on visitation. And we put him with a man who was seasoned, going on visitation. And Brother David came back from visitation and he was flustered. He said, Pastor, I went up to a guy's house and I said, we're here to tell you the gospel so you can go to heaven. And the guy said, I'm not interested, and slammed the door. And I got to tell you, when I walked away from his house, I said, well, go to hell then. Now, wait a minute. Is that the attitude we ought to have? Are we supposed to call down fire from heaven upon people? God says, you know not what spirit you're of. He didn't call to condemn people. He called us to go out and save them. Win them to the Lord. We can't, you know, win them to the Lord. I said, Brother David, that's not the right spirit to have. I sat where he sat. I understand where you, amen? But too often we have that attitude that I've told them once, like Jonah. But God didn't do anything to us like He did to Jonah. And we don't ever have to go to anybody nearly as bad as the people in Nineveh. We're talking about repentance for the country. It's not going to happen until there's repentance from the Christian. Nineveh's hope was very slim. In Jonah 3 and verse 9, the king said, "Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from His fierce anger that we perish not?" They heard nothing of God's love. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." They never heard that. They never heard Ezekiel 18:32, "For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live." God says, "I set before you life and death. Choose life." Amen. They never heard that. They never heard Ephesians chapter 2, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Amen. They didn't hear that. They knew nothing of the character of God. Nobody ever said to Nineveh, "God is love." No, He just said, you're done. Amen. 3 days and Nineveh is going to be destroyed. They had no more than, who can tell? Isn't that what your neighbors are thinking right now? If they don't know the gospel, they don't know how to be saved. They don't even know if they can be saved. Our church, when I first got there, Brother Abel, had a light in the front. It looked like an old missions, like a soup kitchen kind of a light. And it said, "Jesus saved," and it would flicker, and "Jesus saved." And I pulled that down. It was spooky looking, you know. I pulled that down. A guy across the street from, there's a trailer park across the street from our church, told one of our men, "I always saw that sign when I would get up and look out my window, 'Jesus saves,' but I had no idea how." I had no idea how. Amen. These people that you know that are not saved they're not just wicked people. They're just doing what sinners do. Amen. Sinners commit sin. Don't think that somebody is a sinner because they get drunk. You're looking at it wrong. They get drunk because they're a sinner. They commit sin because that's what sinners do until they get converted from death unto life. Then they have the ability to do what's right. How's that going to happen? How shall they hear without a preacher? That's you, amen. Nineveh made a decisive move. Look at verse 5. "So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, 'Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands.'" Verse 5, they believe God. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. "For he that cometh to Him must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." They put on sackcloth in verse 5. That's repentance. We preach repentance towards God and faith toward Jesus Christ. The king set an example. He said, take action. Amen. James tells us what? Faith without works is dead. Now, you're not saved by works. But if you believe and then you never call on the Lord, you never put it into action, you never get right with God, amen, you're not going to be saved. You're going to go to hell knowing how you could have been saved. But they took action. They proclaimed a fast in verse 7. That's humility before God and a broken and contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise. And they cried out to God in verse 8. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen? We're talking about repentance. Nineveh's salvation was wonderful. Look at verse 10. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that He had said He would do unto them, and He did it not. Where does that leave America? Nineveh heard it one time, and they repented. How many times How many times has the nation heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? I know there's false prophet muddy in the water. I know there's perverts in Hollywood mocking Christianity. I know there's people trying to make movies about Jesus Christ and saying that he was a sinner himself. But do you know why they have any traction? Do you know why they have any credence with the people? Because the people don't know any better because they're not hearing from us. We are the ambassadors for Christ. They're not. But if we're going to be silent, they're going to go with whoever they hear. We need to raise up our heads and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Where does that leave our churches then? To whom much is given, much is required. It leaves us with many stripes. Many stripes. And I want to ask more specifically, the repentance that America needs to come by. You're Jonah. You're Jonah. Where does this leave you? Where does this leave you? We need to be right with God. We need to have repentance. We need to turn from our own wicked ways so we can have revival. And then when we take the beam out of our eye, we can help somebody take the mote out of theirs. Amen? Amen. Matthew 12:41. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Will the backslidden person repent today? Will the lost person among us repent today? It'd be all right if you would repent today. Let's stand. Listen, God loves you and so do I. And He wants the very best. You have no idea the great victory that God is waiting to give you at this church and around our country. No man liveth unto himself and no man dieth unto himself. You have an impact everywhere with everybody that you talk to. There's no telling what God will do if this church will get their hearts completely right with God. What number, brother?
488.
48? 488. You don't have to wait for the music. You can come.